Lights, camera, action. Nice. Oh my gosh, it's been forever, I feel like, since I've seen all of you. Are we doing okay? School year starting all right for you? Yeah? How many of you are like a little bit excited that, oh yeah, I get to go back to school because I was bored all summer long? Anybody? No? Okay. How many of you are like still crying in depression mode, like you have to get up early to go to school? Okay. We got a pretty even mix in this room. That's good stuff. Well, my name's Gary, and I'm one of the staff here. I'm stoked you guys are hanging out with us. Hopefully you have a seat back there now. I realize there's a lot of people here today. But we have a tradition that every single relaunch, I just get to talk about my highlights from the summer with you. And so that's what we're going to do right now to kick this off today. So the first one, and it's going to be a picture slideshow. As you can see, our screen's not working over here. So you're going to focus your attention on the jump screen over here. So put up the first one for me. Okay, it's kind of hard to see it, but Fish, like, painted his eyebrows green. He, like, became a leprechaun on the bus at MOVE. And Fish, where are you, Fish? There you are. Fish. Okay, here's the deal, Fish. Let me give you a lesson right now. You need to wait to do the drugs after camp, okay? That's just what we want to work on with you. Yeah. You got in trouble? Well, that's what's new. It's High Point. Okay, next picture. Okay, it's kind of hard to see this one, but this is Jad. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Did somebody get sniped? Jeez, that was crazy. Okay, this is Jad at the airport. He really wanted his hockey stick, so he's playing around. But see, it's cute and all, but it's really not cute because here's what happened. We're having a good time, getting ready to go to San Diego, go to California, hang out at the beach all week long. And so then he sees this other little girl that's maybe about his age, and he goes up and he's like kind of babbling towards this little girl. And then he starts to lean in to hug, and me and the other mom, this is like some total stranger I've never met before, and this is a little awkward because I'm like, I don't know if they like that my kid is like making a move already at this age, you know? I don't know if that's cool. So he goes in for a hug, and we're like, oh, that's so cute. I'm trying to talk to him. And then he goes in for a second one, and it's really cute again. And then he goes in for a third one. He goes so hard that he knocks the girl onto the ground, and she hits her head on the really hard marble floor, and she starts bawling her eyes out. And so it's ridiculously awkward because I'm like, so I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry about that. We're out of here, Jad. Like, it was so awkward. And the dad was sitting there, and I swear, dude, if you could take a gun into the airport, he would have shot me. He looked so mad, and he was a big guy, and I'm not a big guy. So we would have had some issues. Next one. Okay, you may not be able to read this from here, but we found this was on our mission trip to Canada. Here's what it says. It says, family finds naked intruder frying up eggs in their home. Okay? We find this, I think it was like the second day in Vancouver. Now, just imagine this happening to you. You're at school for the day. You come home. Some guy's just like, one scrambled or sunny side up. And he's like, you know, showing you all his goods and whatnot. I mean, when you rob somebody's house, you don't do that. Like, you're not supposed to be cooking up some eggs, you know? That's just not what you do. Okay, and the last one, okay, don't do it yet, but this is a video, and I want to set this up. What we were doing is we were at Dunes, and Taylor Dill, the drummer for today, we set up some chairs that you had to use as an obstacle. And so what we would do is we sat him on a chair, a spinny chair, and we spun him for like 3 days. And then his job was to weave in and out, and then this is what happened. Oh, wait, this is what happened over here on the screen.
2 seconds! Jump! Oh my god!
Okay, wait, Maverick, what's that called again? Star Trek? So yeah, he was trying to star trip him at the same time. There were no stars inside, but that's okay. So that was our summer here at High Point Students. It's been a good time. Over the past couple weeks, I've just been kind of reflecting and thinking about life and kind of where we've all been as a group in the past 4 years since I've been here. And I'm just thinking about how much things have changed since when I first got here. Like, maybe you're new around here and you're like, oh, this is kind of normal. It's a pretty cool place. At one point, this was not a cool place to show up, just to be honest. Like, I was like, crap, I have to work at High Point. This sucks, you know? It was just kind of depressing. It was so, so different when I first got here. And so it's been really cool to see how much God has done in our midst and how many people he's brought to us. And a lot of you that, like, Even a year ago, you're like, I was never into the whole church thing. But now you're somebody that's like a faithful person that serves and gives. And it's just been really cool to think about all the different stories of people in this room where you've had your life changed because Jesus intervened when you really weren't ready for it. Like, that's the way he kind of works. He just kind of steps in and changes you. And so I've just been kind of thinking about over the past couple weeks that we haven't had services. And when I got here, I didn't have some big elaborate plan of like, oh, here's our 5-year plan of how things are going to change at High Point. It was kind of like, I just came here and I was like, all right, guys, well, let's just try and like be the church. I don't really know what that means. I was like 25, 26 at the time. But it's been really cool to see that actually happen. And I think so many people think that teenagers don't have much to offer and that your generation is just like screwed up. They're beyond any hope and just you guys are just so messed up that how could you do anything that's of significance? I think a lot of people think that, but the reality is that we've been able to see some really cool stuff happen because you guys are a generation that is willing to just listen to God and do what he says. And so that's kind of what I've just been thinking about. And like I said, it's never been that I had some big plan of like, here's how things are going to be, or I had some like mission statement or something like that. Because a lot of churches, that's what they do. They have like a mission statement, like, hey, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. But for me, I'm not creative enough to be able to think of one. So I just was like, I don't know, let's just like hang out and like make a church that we want to bring our friends to. Like really simple, just the kind of place that we feel safe inviting our friends that don't know who God is. And But it wasn't some big plan I had. And as I think about just my life in general, and I'm sure you guys will relate with this, but can you think of a time where you didn't really have a plan, but things ended up working way better than you probably could have planned if you had a plan? Is that confusing for you? Sorry. I use the word plan a lot. But I think about it related to both of our kids. If you were at pre-launch, I told you how our baby number 2 that's due March 24th was not really a planned baby. It's a surprise, but when we first found out, it was kind of like, oh crap, we're having a second kid. Because our plan was, in 3 years, that's when we're going to start trying to have a kid. And so this one's going to be born before 2 years is even up. So just not even near what we were hoping for. So it's kind of crazy. We're like, oh my gosh, we're going to have another kid. We didn't save up for this. We don't have a plan for it. And we live with 3 other guys in our house. There's no other room in that house. You know, it's like, we'll just put them in Jordan's room. It'll be all good. Jordan can take the hall or something. If you've been to our house, you know Jordan got the short end of the stick because his room is actually not a room. It's an office. So there's like no closet in there and stuff. And it's pretty sad. But even going back to Jad, when we first had him, we kind of said, okay, let's start working on having a baby. We're kind of ready. We're at that stage of life. But when you talk to people about it, a lot of people have a story of, it took us like a year, it took us a couple years to actually have a kid. Like, we tried for so long. And so we got to the place where we're like, okay, let's try. And we weren't thinking that was going to happen really quick. And so, you know, I'm thinking like, yeah, babe, let's try. Let's try a lot to have a baby. Let's just, you know, let's make this happen. Are you ready right now? Let's go upstairs, you know? It's like, that's what I'm thinking. And so we were kind of thinking, like, it's going to take us some time to actually conceive a child. But then it was, like, instant. So if you don't realize what's happening here, I don't know if I'm, I'll just say it. I offend you guys all the time. So baby number 1, Jad, happened pretty quick, you know. Baby number 2 happened, we didn't even really plan for that one. So I'm telling you about the anatomy of Gary Hale and the fertility of Gary Hale right now. So just wanted to give you that lesson. Welcome to sex ed. Okay. Awkwardest moment of your life. Hey, Fish. No, I'm not even. We're gonna stop. No. Okay. But here's the deal. That's kind of how God works. Like, your plan typically doesn't really end up working out the way that you want it to go. Like, that's just how life is. You get thrown curveballs, things change, and you kind of have to just roll with it. And that's what I've kind of seen around this place, where we didn't really have this real elaborate plan, and then God just kind of like steps in and brings all these people. And people's lives start to change. It's just like a really, really cool thing to think about how all this has worked. And I think about just some of the things that have really mattered to me that I'm like, I just wanted to keep it really simple. You know, I didn't want to make it real complicated where we put on a bunch of events and stuff. I was like, we just want to do like small groups and have Sunday mornings. And that's it. Like, we're not going to like complicate it with all these things that the Christian kids need to come to or whatever. It's like, keep it really simple. Let's like explain things. So when I open the Bible and I'm talking about a guy named Jonah, I actually tell people who that is because Some of you are like brand new and you're like, who the heck is Jonah? He got eat by a fish? What? That's weird. You're telling me about some fantasy Harry Potter. This is not a church. Like, you're like, what the heck's going on? But I was just like, let's just explain things, because there's a lot of people in here that are like my family that don't do the church thing, so they need us to kind of explain it to them. And so I just want to talk today about three of the essentials that I feel like have really made us tick for the past couple years. So if you want to take notes, you can bring out your note sheet. And the first thing is this: it has never been about rules. If you've been around here for like a month, you totally know this is true already, man. We just don't get caught up with like the whole like religious game where we feel like we need to figure out, okay, I want to know how I can be good enough for God. So what are the rules I need to follow? We're just like, no. Like, Jesus came to bring life and freedom. Like, that's what he tells us in Scripture, not like a bunch of rules and this religious system to make you good enough for God. That's not how it works. And so I just think about like some of the things that we've done 2 years ago at Dunes. That was scary. And you can tell that we're not very organized around here, because things never work right. But at Dunes 2 years ago, the first night, some of the leaders were like, okay, we got done setting up, so we're going to go out to the beach, and we're gonna have a bonfire out there. I'm like, oh, that sounds really nice on the beach. It'd be really, really cool. I was like, I'm going to go to sleep. You guys have a good time. So the next morning, I wake up, and the staff from the Dunes camp comes up to me like, hey, Gary, did you hear anything about an explosion last night? I'm like, no, I didn't hear about an explosion. Well, what happened? And the lady's like, well, the neighbors called, and they said that they heard a really, really big bang on the beach last night. And they were wondering if anybody here had anything to do with that. Do you know if anybody did hear? And I was like, no, but maybe. So then I go and I ask the guys, so what'd you guys do last night? They're like, dude, check it out. I'm like, no, you're going to get us kicked out of here. So they tell me that they had this bonfire and they found a paint can. So they decided to throw it in there. It exploded. So then they all just ran for their lives. And so then I'm thinking, I'm really glad they didn't ask me after I found out, because I didn't lie to her, because I really didn't know that that's what happened. But like that's something that's happened. And then, you know, you've heard about the mattress jousting at camp, where Roy Schumann, Cody's dad, and Robbie Placencia, who's here this week, had mattresses and were running at each other. Just that's it, just running at each other. And so our first leader meeting at MOVE, one of the ladies from OSU gets up and she's like, hey, we just wanted to tell you about a rule we made because of something that happened last year. I'm like, oh, man, let's hear about what this rule is. You guys aren't allowed to mattress joust anymore. I'm like, what church did that? Gosh, those guys are idiots. And the best part is that it was not students. It was leaders that were doing it. And I'll never forget the moment where the guy comes upstairs and he like opens up the elevator, he steps out, and they're just like caught, because they're holding their mattresses on both ends of the hall, and the guy walks in the middle, and he just looks and he's just like, you know, and it's like, yep, and those are our adult leaders. Solid group of people here. So you got that, and then apparently we did scooter jousting this year on the guys' floor, which was awesome. And then they created another rule for us at camp, which was you're not allowed to throw water balloons at people from a ledge. Who knew that was a rule? I don't know. Seems like a good idea if you have water balloons. So we didn't do that. And then here's the best story. Ultimately, by the end of high school camp, we became the church that everybody hated. I don't know why you're excited about that. It's not awesome. But Kyle McKee was just walking along the street, having a good old time, you know, just strolling along, looking all pretty. And a bus full of students and a youth pastor from another church drives by and is like, hey, what's up, Low Point? We're like, and Kyle doesn't really know what to do with that. He's like, really? We're at church camp. We're supposed to love one another. Let's love each other. Let me hit you with a water balloon. You know, it's like, that's what we're thinking. And so it's just like, that's just kind of the way things are around here. You know, we don't put a bunch of rules on you to make sure you're, like, good enough or whatever. It's just not the way we roll. And I think the biggest reason I wanted to create an environment like that is because when you guys tell your friends that don't go to church that you go to church, the first thing they think is, oh, you have to follow a bunch of rules and you're not allowed to have fun. That's just what people think about the church. They think it's just this place where a bunch of people that are, like, tightwads that don't do anything cool, and that's just what people think. And I know that's what I thought before I became a Christian. I was like, I never want to be a church person, because that just sounds like such a boring kind of life. And I think the church has just messed this up. Just universally, we've approached people and said, you need to do a certain bunch of things in order to be good enough for God, and then we'll accept you into the church. So that's kind of what we communicate to people. And then what happens is the people that, like I think about for myself, one of the rules that I got really stuck on when I was in college was I was like, Christians should never be able to drink alcohol ever in their life. Even when it becomes legal and you turn 21, it's a cool thing. Cool thing. Well, depending on, don't get drunk. I'm saying that. But I would get mad at my friends if they were just like, hey, you want to go out to get a beer and some nachos or whatever? And I would get like, I would literally get mad at them for it, and I would have this like grudge against them. And I was so judgmental, thinking I'm so much better than them because I don't do this thing that is what I would say is sinful. When the Bible never says you're never supposed to touch alcohol, it says don't get drunk. But I had this religious rule that I put on people, and I was talking to Jordan this week, and I was just like, what kind of things did you hear as a kid that you weren't allowed to do because you were a Christian? And he was like, well, I'm not supposed to dance. That's what I heard all growing up. So that was one of them. And then, like, you're not supposed to get tattoos because those are evil and you can't do that. And so, like, we add all this stuff to the Bible thinking, in order for us to be Christians, we need to follow all these rules, when Jesus is like, no, don't add stuff to what I've taught in here. I told you I came to bring life and freedom. It doesn't mean you live however you want, you do whatever you want, you hurt people, and you just can, like, you can get away with anything. He's not saying that. There is this obedience that needs to happen when you become a Christian, but what happens when we add things to the Bible is we just tell people that this Jesus thing is just not for you. And I never wanted to be somebody that communicated that to people, and I just love that. That's not the environment around here. Like, you guys bring your friends, and they'll, like, come talk to me after service, and they're telling me about their life. I'm just like, what? That's a real thing that you did? Like, some of these things I haven't even heard about before, because their lives are so messed up, but you feel safe enough to bring them here so they can kind of figure out, okay, well, how does God interact with me when I am such a screwed up person? And I want to read this to you from Mark chapter 7. What's happening here is the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're getting really freaked out because Jesus' followers are not following all the religious rules that they had determined. Hey, here are the things that we need to do in order to be close to God and for God to approve of us. And so Jesus says this, when you cling blindly to your own traditions, such as washing utensils and cups, you completely miss God's command. Then, indeed, you have perfected setting aside God's commands for the sake of your tradition. Underline perfected, because I love the way it's phrased here. It's like when we are so committed to just the rules, we perfectly set aside what God really cares about. And like I talked about with myself, like when we do this, it makes us so judgmental. We start to become the church like referees. And think about a sports game. Does anybody like the referee? No. Nobody likes the referee. Like the referee, it's not like people show up in a referee jersey like, yeah, let's cheer them on tonight. That just doesn't happen. And so, but we become that person because we're just like, all right, let's make sure they're all following the rules. Ha, I saw on your Facebook that you wrote something about blah, blah, whatever it is. And so you're a hypocrite, but you come to our church, you shouldn't be allowed in our church. And so you become super judgmental and you start to see people through eyes of hatred rather than love. Now, just think about when that's happened for you. Like, who are some people that you think, or maybe just recently, as you're starting school again, you're talking with different people, you have them in your classes, and you, there are certain people that you just look and you're just like, oh, I don't like that person. See, I think we do that, and Jesus is like, what you guys are doing is you're setting aside my commands to just follow your little rules and to be good enough for me. And he's like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Like, people are supposed to come to me and then I clean them up. They're not supposed to get clean and then they're good enough for me to come to church or whatever. And so I think when a church is committed to creating a place where it's safe for people that might think it's all about the rules, when we create a place that's safe for those people that are far from God, that's the kind of place that God blesses. And that's what I've been able to experience here in getting to know all of you guys, that so many of you, like, your parents don't do the church thing. You didn't grow up in here. It's not your tradition or whatever. But you've come here because you've found something that you've been searching for. And you found hope. You found purpose in life. You found significance. And those are the things that Jesus is like, that's what I offer. It's not the tradition, the rules. It's life. It's freedom. It's purpose. It's hope. That's what I bring to the table. And so are you willing to accept that? And then for us, are we willing to create a place for those kinds of people? Right on the second thing. It has never been about us. Okay. Did anybody in here used to be on the setup team when I first got here? It might be only Kevin Metzke, right? Like when we, okay, so here's what it used to be like, just to give you a little bit of a picture. We would show up at 7 a.m. Okay, now if you're on the setup team now, you're like, oh my gosh, that would be horrible because we show up at 8 o'clock. But it was like five of us that would come here and set up all this stuff, and it just took us way longer because we didn't have a bunch of people that were like, I'm committed to serve around here. And so it was really funny because after a few weeks, I was like, dude, guys, I texted all of the whole team. I was like, we can show up at 7:15 now. Yeah, that's amazing. And so we were so excited about it, and it was so cool because we had this core people that were all about, I want to create a church for people. I don't want to just show up and be like, oh, it's all about me. And so I feel like we've always had that attitude of like, hey, I'm going to bring what I have to the table. I'm going to be here to serve, not to just get stuff from God or get stuff from people. And so we've always had this attitude to give, not to take. And that's something that like permeates all of Scripture. I mean, it's like, when you read this, the message you should hear is, it's not about you. Like, it's never about you. It's about God first. And then it's about the people around you, they're second, and then you're third. Like, that's what the entire Bible, the big theme is. It's all about God, it's all about loving others, and then it's about you. And so I feel like we've had certain people that God has just sent here to have that attitude, to kind of get things going, and it's just kind of the way things work around here now, you know? It's like, there's like 30 people that show up on a Sunday morning to set this whole thing up, and it's amazing that high schoolers are willing to get up in the morning on a weekend during the school year. Like, that's amazing that you guys actually do that, and I just really appreciate you. But here's how you know that you've started to make it about yourself. It's that when you walk in the doors, you have an agenda when you get in here. Okay, so let me explain this a little bit. You walk in the doors, and your first thought is, how can I make myself feel better today? Instead of help someone else out. Say hi to somebody that looks lonely. It's like you show up here and you expect everything to revolve around you. Like when you have an agenda when you walk in the doors, that's when you know you've made it about yourself and not about Jesus. And we hate it when somebody has an agenda with us, right? Like when somebody does, we're like, stay away from me. Just this last, 2 weeks ago actually, this lady comes to my door and she's like, hey, we're just going around the neighborhood and we're cleaning people's carpets for free. Actually, we make $50 if you let us clean your carpet. I'm like, dude, come on in, that'd be awesome. So she's like, okay, some guys are going to come around in a little bit, and they're gonna do the whole thing for you. So we move the furniture out of the living room. These two guys show up, and he gets out this like super fancy vacuum, and I'm starting to think like, okay, this isn't just about them getting $50 for cleaning. Like, they're going to try and sell me something right now. I know that's what's going to happen. So the guy, he starts to like vacuum a little bit, and then he'll stop after like one stroke, and I'm like, No. Let's keep the cleaning process going. That's what you guys told me you were coming to do. And he would stop and explain something elaborate about this vacuum and how amazing it is. But the cool thing was that this guy reminded me of Kevin Hart, so he was hilarious. It was kind of like we had a comedian in our own living room, which was kind of fun. And so he's like telling us jokes and all this stuff. I'm like, I like this guy. This guy's a pretty cool dude. But he just keeps doing it. And after like a half an hour, I'm like, you've made it through about half of our living room, and our living room is not that big. And I'm just like feeling this, like he has an agenda. He wants to sell me this vacuum. And so I finally get to the point where I'm like, okay, dude, I need to put my kid to sleep, so how long is this going to take for you to finish up? And so that's when he can tell that I'm like not, I'm not too stoked on the fact that he's vacuuming anymore. And so then he calls his buddy in, and they're like, so what's it going to take for you to buy this $3,000 vacuum? If your family, okay, I hope your family didn't buy it, because that's too bad, because $3,000 for a vacuum, like, you can buy way cooler things with that kind of money. But they're trying to say, like, what is it going to take for you to buy one of these? And I'm like, well, the neighbor would have to buy it. I would go to their house, and I would borrow it from them, bring it here, and then take it back. And so the guys are like, well, we haven't had that response before. I don't know how to respond to that. But it was like, they had this agenda with me, and so I was super defensive, like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And so I started to get a little bit mean and be a little bit sarcastic with them and stuff. But that's just the way we are when somebody has an agenda with us. We're just like, nope, I know you're trying to get something from me, so like stay away. I don't want anything to do with you. But if you think about it, that's kind of what we do sometimes when we come to church. We come here and we have an agenda, not only for like the people, but we're like, okay, God, I want something from you this week, and if I don't feel your presence, then I don't know, like, I'm not going to be happy, so you need to, like, fill me up and make me know you're real. So we approach him, we have this, like, messed up agenda that's so selfish, and if you're in that place, then I would say the best thing for you to do is to just start serving someone. Like, come here, wake up and come here at 8 o'clock in the morning, because when you start to actually serve, your heart just changes. It just happens. That's just the way it works. Like, that's the way God, I think, he created us that when we do things for others, we feel satisfied for doing that. And so if you're in that spot where you're just like, okay, well, I'm kind of bored with the church and I'm not getting what I want, then you need to do something for somebody else. Like, that's what your action step is. And because I'm really, really big on protecting that attitude of, like, it's not about us. It's never going to be about us around here. We'll do whatever it takes to keep it focused on Jesus and loving people. Let me read this verse to you from 1 Peter. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Underline serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I love this scripture because it's like, we are stewards of God's grace. So we are the ones that give it out to people. That's how they get to know who he is. And I want to point out this to you. If you're like new around here, you just need to know, like, somebody set up your chair for you. It didn't just like appear. Like, somebody got up and put that there for you. And this band that gets up here and like memorizes their music and just does an awesome job, it's not like we like pay them or something like that. Like, they come here because they have a gift. And like, I've been created to serve others. And so I bring that to the table. And so I just love that about this place, and I just want us to be always thinking about, we will do whatever it takes to continue to make this not about us. Write down this third thing. It has always been about love. Let me read this out of 1 Corinthians to you. It says, pursue the greater gifts, and let me tell you of a more excellent way. Love. What if my faith is strong enough to scoop a mountain from its bedrock, yet I live without love? If so, I am nothing. I could give all that I have to feed the poor. I could surrender my body to be burned as a martyr. But if I do not live in love, I gain nothing by my selfless acts. Now, I want you to underline, I am nothing. See, it requires mature and sacrificial Christians to create a place for those that don't know who God is. And that's something we're so committed to around here. Like, I want to read these to you. I want to read you some surveys. What we do is we send out these little surveys to people that show up for the first time because we want to know what they think. Because I've been here for a long time, and I love it. But somebody walking through the doors might have a totally different opinion and might catch something that I'm missing and that we're all missing as a group. And so we send them these surveys that ask them, like, what was most memorable? Did you feel welcome? And I forget what some of the other things are, but here's one of the ones that somebody said. They were like, everybody was so inviting and not afraid to approach me. Also, they wanted to know more about me. After church, I was then invited to go out to lunch with the group. It was great. I just love that. And then here's another survey from a kid that shared his story. He says, I was riding around my neighborhood looking for something to do when I saw a group of people at the park. I didn't know what was going on, so I got a closer look and I saw Ryan Maxfield. Hard not to see him. He's 6'8" if you haven't met him yet. He's a giant. I knew him from choir the year before. He invited me to hang out with everybody and told me about how this was a church function and that he wanted me to come. I feel that now I have accepted Christ into my life, there will always be something that keeps me going. Even through the hardest times, I know that there is a plan and that everything happens for a reason. I was never really into the whole church thing growing up. And after meeting the amazing people at High Point, I have a place that I feel welcome with people that I know care about me. I have grown closer to Christ in the past 3 years. And this last one here. I've never felt more at home than I do at High Point. Since the first day I started going there, I have always felt wanted and accepted. I've developed some of the best relationships I've had from being involved in this church. Every time I leave, I feel invigorated and ready to take on whatever challenges that will inevitably come my way. That is not just a feeling that I get exclusively on Sundays, but one that lasts. I have so much love for this church, and I want as many people as possible to feel that same love. High Point has changed my life, and I want to do my part in maintaining that reputation. I love this last one because this person is like, I have received so much, therefore I'm going to give so much to keep creating this place for people that feel like they're far from God. And so it's always been about love. That's the thing that has marked this place, that love is what matters. At the end of the day, that's what God says. He says, love God and love people. And I'm just really grateful that you guys have been a place where I feel like I can invite people to show up here. Like, that's so huge to me that I feel like I can meet anybody, even if they're like an adult, and I can say, hey, you should come check out our youth group. And they're kind of like, what? That's weird. Like, you want me to come hang out with a bunch of teenagers? I'm like, yeah, we'll do a background check first. But then, yeah, you can totally come after that. But this idea of like being a place where we just care so much about being a loving community, I think that's the kind of church that God can keep blessing. That's really cool. It's really funny to look at some of you when you were a little baby, like Colin. Oh my gosh. You were such a dork, man. JK, love you. Where are you, Colin? Man, it's just so cool. Like, 105 of you have gotten dunked in the past 4 years. That's crazy. That's so cool. I'm just, like, so impressed that so many of you have been willing to take that step to just to be obedient when Jesus says, like, the first thing after you take a step to have faith is you get baptized. So maybe some of you, you've taken that step, but you're like, I don't know, I don't want to get wet. It's going to look weird, and I just don't want to do that much in front of a bunch of people. Well, Jesus says you need to do it. So on the back of your card, you should check that box in a second. But I guess I just want to wrap up with saying, let's just keep creating a place that we want to invite our friends to. Like, there's no real big elaborate plan of how things are going to be, but just keeping it really simple and saying, who are the people that aren't here yet? And let's make decisions based on them so that way they can come here and hear about who Jesus is. So if you guys could just grab your comm card real quick, we're going to look at that for a second. If you didn't fill that out already, go ahead and fill that thing out. That's how we communicate with you. And if you didn't hear it in that announcement video, we're trying to update our texting system. So if you could just, even if you already get text messages, check the box if you want to receive them again, because we want to keep that up to date. But on the back of the card, you can write down your prayer requests, because we have a team of students. Mackenzie leads that team that's praying for you throughout the week. And maybe you're ready to take a next step, like get baptized or get involved and not make it about you. And so that's the time right now, is to check that box. And if you're thinking about it, just do it. Like, don't go, I don't know if I should, because you should. Like Jesus says, serve. So just do it. Don't delay obedience there. So we'll get you involved. And like Kyle said, what we're going to start doing, you might have seen the note under the gray section. We're going to start giving a portion of our offerings to this organization called the Mentoring Project. So if you went to move 2 years ago, there's this organization that is all about helping kids that don't have fathers, like providing a mentor or just providing a family that's going to like love them. And so we watched a really powerful video about that. And so we're going to start donating some of our offerings to that organization, because I realize that God wants to bless churches that are willing to give what they receive. And so not only do we want to be people that give our time, but we want to be an entire church that gives away our finances as well. So I think that just positions us in a place where God can go, I'm just going to keep blessing you guys because you're willing to be sacrificial and generous. So that note says to fill it out if you're a first-timer, because if you're a first-timer and you fill it out, we're going to donate in your honor. So go ahead and do that. This is also the part of the service where we're going to take the offering.